Warning, the following program may contain gratuitous amounts of spooky and creepy. So ask your doctor before listening in to see if gratuitous amounts of spooky and creepy is right for you. Delicious friends, that's right, it's time for the one, the only, Dr. Novella's Novelty Hour, here on radio.dominican.edu, and I am your host, Count Dr. Novella here, to provide you with the best in novelty music and news. And by the sound of my voice, that means that tomorrow is the day of days where the ghosts and ghouls come out to play. Which means this is the Novelty Hour's Halloween special. So, let us get on to the music. So, our first forte into the world of candy and toilet paper trees comes from the 1973 musical and 75 cult movie adaptation, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. This song was composed by Richard O'Brien, and today is arguably one of the most well-known songs of the musical. And there are quite a bit of well-known songs from it. So that's saying something. So that's right. It's everyone's favorite step to the right. Here it is, the time warp.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
With your hands on your hips.
You're bringing me to your side. There is the bell that goes. It really comes to insane. Let's do the time warp again. Let's
or fantasy free me so you can't see me. No, not at all. In another dimension with voyeuristic intention, well secluded, I see all
with a bit of a mind flip.
You're into the time slip,
and nothing can ever be the same.
You're spaced out on sensation,
like you're under sedation.
Delicious. I love everything already. And you, as I said earlier, you are listening to Dr. Novella's Novelty Hour Halloween Special here on radio.dominican.edu. And I hope you enjoyed that, because we have plenty of more songs. In fact, we have 1, 2, 3 more songs. What? You thought I was being the Dracula when I said the count? That'd be too easy. Before that, though, we'll have our first piece of novelty news for the day, where I find articles. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 articles, where I show you just how hilarious the world can be. So, our first one is a frightful tale indeed. In the wild and dark lands of golf courses. Now, anyone who listened to the radio last Friday well, remember, this is one of the articles that I had talked about for the Penguin Press Pass. But I felt that it deserved the full novelty novella treatment. So, in a Southern California golf course, and they had an interesting sight when a 2-foot leopard shark was found flopping around the course. That's right, a two-foot leopard shark. They believe that, based off the injuries on it, they believe that a bird must have swooped down to the water and grabbed it and carried it over to the golf course till it couldn't carry it anymore, and so it fell there. No, but I got to say, I think the shark is onto something. Now, I don't find golf that interesting myself, though I sleep next to two people that do. The point is, I would totally watch golf sharks. Just saying. Like you got this course, you know, filled with a bit of water so the sharks can breathe and all that. And then you play a regular game of golf, but filled with sharks. You know what? I better get the rights to that before a Fox or ESPN steals it from me. One, two, three, four. Four lawsuits. So, before we get over to break, I want to say, for any of you who are new, I do indeed have a Facebook page. You just go to Facebook and search for Dr. Novella. N-O-V-E-L-L-A. There, you can like the page, where you can comment on stuff, like whether you like what I'm saying or not. Sometimes I repost stuff I think are funny on it. But and most importantly, to answer the questions that I ask at the beginning of each break. And if I like it, I will read it on the show. It's like being famous, but not. So, what I want to know is, what sport do you think can be improved using sharks? Okay, you got that, guys? So what sport do you think you can improve if you include sharks in it? And with that, we will be right back with our Halloween special of Dr. Novella's, or should I say, Count Dr. Novella's, Novelty Hour, here on the radio.dominican.edu.
Rumors spreading round in that Texas town about the shack outside the game. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that whole mile on the range. They got a lot of nice girls. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Novella's Novelty Hour here on the radio.dominican.edu. And I am, of course, your host, Count Dr. Novella. So, we are here helping you to get ready for tomorrow night with our very own Halloween special. Or should I say, my very own Halloween special, since I am the only one here. Righty, so let's go to the questions. So, if you guys would remember, I had asked, what sport would you put sharks in order to improve it? So we got some answers right here. So, we have two people, both the Diane and the Megan, who both suggest the water polo. Once again, I repeat an earlier statement. A 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 lawsuits. Except that probably even more. But still, I'm liking this idea. It does need a little work, you know. Hopefully something that would create less lawsuits. In fact, I think all of these would, but where's the fun in that? So next we have the Patrick, who suggests we make Dodgeball and rename it Dodge Shark. For as we all know, if you can dodge a ball, you can dodge a shark. Might have to be one of those smaller sharks, though. I could imagine the carrying, like, the great white probably would be a bit inefficient. You know, trying to, like, lug it and all that. It's no fun. And then, last but not least, we have the Garrett, who suggests the celebrity mud wrestling. Except instead of mud, the celebrities are wrestling sharks. Now this is an idea I can get behind. Though I'm not entirely sure what exactly, whatever he means, wrestle with the sharks? Like celebrity versus shark? Or celebrity versus celebrity, but they're wrestling in sharks? Now I'm not entirely sure. Oh, we have a, according to Patrick, it'd be a whale shark. On the pass, thank you. Now, where was I? Oh, that's right, shark wrestling. So, either one of those work. I mean, I would pay the good money to see Donald Trump wrestle a great white. But I'm pretty sure everyone else here would agree with me. Though, for the sake of fairness, we should probably make it two great white sharks. You know, here at the Novelty Hour, I am in full support of making sure things are fair. But enough of my mindless rambling about sharks. Let us move on to our next song. So, this is the next song. Comes from the musical and acting talent of Sheb Wally. He had his various songs. He was an actor for a few of the westerns. And he released this song in 1958. And that same year, it hit number one on the Billboard pop charts. And he would become so popular, it ended up becoming both a movie with Neil Patrick Harris in 1988 and a Viking defensive line in the 1970s. 1, 2, 3, 4 Super Bowls where that defensive line meant nothing because they still lost. I hope no one's from Minnesota. I might have just insulted them. Anyways. So that's right. It's everyone's favorite one-eyed, one-horned alien buddy. Sheb Woolies, the Purple People Eater.
Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had a one long horn and one big eye. I commenced to shake him and I said, ooh-wee. It looked like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. A one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. Sure looked strange to me. Oh, well, he came down to earth and he lit in a tree. I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, don't eat me. I heard him say in a voice so gruff,
I wouldn't eat you cause you're so tough.
It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. Sure looked strange to me. I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, what's your line? He said, I eat purple people and it sure is fine. But that's not the reason that I came to land.
I wanna get a job in a rock and roll band.
Well, bless my soul, rock and roll, flying purple people eater. Pigeon-toed, undercoat, flying purple people eater. Friendly little people eater, what a sight to see. And then it swung from the tree and it laid on the ground. And it started to rock, oh really, rocking around. It was a crazy ditty with a swinging tune.
Sing a pop, pop, a boop, a lop, a loom, bam, boom.
Well, bless my soul, rock and roll, flying purple people eater. Pigeon toad and the gold, flying purple people eater.
I like short, short.
Flying purple people eater, what a sight to see. Well, he went on his way, and then what do you know? I saw him last night on a TV show. He was a blowing it out, a really knocking them dead. Playing rock and roll music through the horn in his head.
Tequila.
Alrighty. Though, real quick, this doesn't necessarily fall into my usual forte. However, the nerd in me demands that I mention it. So, I was actually reminded about this by my friend Garrett. Reminded me about the day where the Disney had bought Lucasfilms today for $4.05 billion, and are planning on making three more Star Wars films. I am currently a mixed bag of optimism right here. Just saying. You know, it could go out really well, it could go out really bad. This is Disney we're talking about. And again, they bought Marvel and the Avengers didn't suck, so there should be hope. However, if any of them happen to be listening, the next three should be about the Grand Admiral Thrawn trilogy of books by Timothy Zane. Just a saying. So, it is time once again for another piece of novelty news, where I find funny news articles from around the world to show you just how silly the world can be. So, this next story comes from New Mexico. I could talk about it myself, but I'll let NBMSC do it for me.
It happened the first time a week ago.
First of all, it's funny.
Haha, funny joke. The first time.
But then it happened again yesterday.
It's been funny, but it's kind of creepy to know that somebody's coming on our property.
Twice now, and on surveillance, you see a woman walk up to the front porch of the Dentent home and start moving the furniture around.
I put it back.
Angela Dentent laughs about it. The first time, she thought maybe her daughter had done it.
She said no, so I proceeded to review the surveillance cameras.
In broad daylight and in plain sight, the woman comes back about 8 o'clock in the morning, and you can see her spot that the furniture has been moved back. So she moves in.
I have no idea what she could be thinking. She looks around, making sure nobody's watching before she takes care of it.
We laugh about it the first time. The second time, you start thinking a little bit more about it, going, okay, something's wrong here.
You can even see her look back to admire her handiwork. Carl Dentent is shocked that she doesn't notice the cameras.
But it's in the broad daylight, and you can't miss the cameras that we have on our house. There's 8 of them, and they're big and black. So that person was just on a mission.
So after 2 unsolicited furniture moves, the Dentents are hoping after the story airs, there won't be a third time.
She decides to come by and wonder what our house looks like inside and what she can rearrange in there. You know, what if she tries getting in with one of our kids inside?
Right. So, I don't know what that lady had against how those chairs were arranged, but did it not occur to her that maybe there's a better way of going about this? I mean, just like knocking the door, go up there and be like, oh, hey, you know, the nice arrangement you got there. But, you know, things like, there's a room for improvement. I mean, you know, it won't guarantee you anything, but it's better than having all your friends and family calling you about if you know any good room designers. And if all the things to get your jimmies rustled enough to do this during the day in plain sight. This is it. Grr. This chair is a foot too far away from the table. Arr, that couch should be angled at 90 degrees. Based off the shape of the room standing in front of the TV, this just grinds my gears. Though, I suppose I'd rather have a man break into my house to move the TV an inch to the left than into the left of his truck so the ropes will hold it properly. So, right before we go to break, for any of you just joining us, I do indeed have a Facebook page. So, the rumors are true, people. Spread the word. The rumors are true. So, you can go there and search for Dr. Novella. Novella. You like the page. You can post comments. So I'm doing, if you have something you think is funny, like a video or a song or whatever you think that is worth showing on the novelty hour, sometimes I'll post things on there and all that kind of stuff. Or like right now, where I ask a question right before each break and you guys answer there. And if I like your answer, I will read it on the show. It's like being famous, but not. I would never tire of that laugh. So here's what I want to know. What would someone have to do to their house to make you want to break into it and fix it? Okay? So what would someone have to do to their house to make you want to break in and fix it? And with that, we'll be right back with more of my Halloween special edition of Count Dr. Novella's Novelty Hour, here on the radio.dominican.edu.
time since I came around. Been a long time, but I'm back in town. This time I'm not leaving without you. You taste like whiskey when you kiss me. I would give anything again to be your baby doll. This time I'm not leaving without you. He says, sit back down where you belong, in the corner of my bar with your high heels on. Sit back down on the couch where we made love the first time, and you said to me there's something, something about this place. Something about lonely nights and my lips. It's been 2 years since I let you go. I couldn't listen to a joke or a rock and roll. Muscle cars drove a truck right through my heart. On my birthday, you sang me a heart of gold with a guitar humming and overloads.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Novella's Novelty Hour, here on radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host for our Halloween special, Count Dr. Novella. So we are about halfway through, but we still have plenty of novelty music for y'all. But first, let's see what answers we got. So, it appears we have two answers to my question. So as you know, I had asked, or if you don't know, either way, I had asked what would someone have to do to their home for you to be willing to break in and fix it? So first we have one from Diane, also known as my dear sweet mother. Where was I? That's right. If it had 70s decor, such as a Alvocalvo green paint and the fake wood paving. Yeah. I would suppose that's, you know, it's bad enough we have to live with 70s music. You know, with that disco duck and all that kind of stuff, and the hair jests and the dancing and the blowing up records and stuff. And all that stuff. And then just to remind you, their house still looks like it's from the 70s. It's like, that's just not nice, Mr. House. And now we have from Garrett. So if their furniture was not nailed to their roof, I would have to correct that for them. For a single piece of furniture not nailed to the roof is just useless. I could not agree more with that statement. You know, these days with all these youngsters, you know, with their roofs clear of nailed furniture, it's blasphemy. So next time you see that, just make sure to call me. Or don't. Because I don't particularly feel like the police, they're arresting me. But you know, if you can do it all ninja-like and stuff, just use the power of friendship and aid his music, and you should be fine. AT, that's a number. Righty. With that, we are halfway through through our episode tonight, but we still got plenty of music, like I said before. So let's go on. So, our next song comes from the 1993 animated musical by Tim Burton, The Nightmare Before Christmas. And just by that, everyone probably knows what song I am talking about. After all, it is Halloween, and there's only really one song that you can pick, and you'd be like, yeah, you definitely have to pick that one. So, anyhow, this song was written, composed, and produced by Danny Elfman, who not only did this song, but also the Simpsons theme, and the theme for the 1989 Batman films. So, here it is, the second best required song to play on Halloween. This is Halloween.
Something strange.
Come with us and you will see. This old town of Halloween. This is Halloween. This is Halloween. Pumpkin scream in the dead of night. This is Halloween. Everybody make a scene. Trick or treat.
Tell the neighbors on a dime.
It's our town. Everybody scream.
In this town of Halloween.
I am the one hiding under your bed. Teeth ground sharp and eyes glowing red.
I am the one hiding under your stairs. Fingers like snakes and spiders in my hair.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween, 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 Halloween.
In this town we call home, everyone hail to the pumpkin song.
In this town, don't we love it now? Everybody's waiting for the next surprise.
Trash can, something's waiting at a punch and pound.
Hooray, this is Halloween.
Red and black.
It's bloody green.
Aren't you scared?
Well, that's just fine.
Say it once, say it twice. Take a chance and roll the dice. Ride with the moon in the dead of night.
Everybody scream, everybody scream.
In our town of Halloween.
I am the clown with the tearaway face.
Clear in a flash and bother the trace.
I am the who in the cold who's there.
I am the shadow on the moon at night, filling your dreams to the brim with fright.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween, 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 Halloween.
Tender lovelings everywhere, there's no fun without a good scare.
That's our job,
but we're not mean.
In our town of Halloween,
in this town. Don't we love it now? Everyone's waiting for the next surprise.
Skeleton Jack might catch you in the back and scream like a bat. You make you jump out of your skin.
This is Halloween.
Everybody scream.
Won't you please make way for a very special guy?
yell to the pumpkin song.
Alrighty, welcome back. So, right now we have our last piece of novelty news, where I find articles from around the world of worldness. You see, I get more and more fancy each time. It just comes with being the count. Well, you know, with like the numbers and stuff, because it's funny. Where was I? That's right. So, this comes from a library in Indiana who were, they were collecting books as a donation, and that's nice and all that kind of stuff. But one of the books had a special surprise in it. So an employee grabbed open a copy of Robert Stone's Outbridge Reach, and found inside the book was hollowed out with a historic looking handgun inside. It was designed as described by police as a gold wooden handle, ASM brand, 31 caliber single shot black powder gun. Now, this seems like some kind of like, you know, old fancy tale, you know, with the guy, hiding the gun in the book. So you just take it out last second and be like, bangity bang bang. Three shots I used to describe that. So, I must say, I would be a bit surprised myself, you know, open up and like, oh, hey, a gun. You know, kind of makes you wonder who donated that. The library reports they were overflown with book donations, which is weird considering it's a library and books, and there aren't exactly the most popular things right now. But wait, the point is, they don't actually know who donated it. So, you know, who knows who could have put guns in a book. It could have been some old lady. She was like, ow, I'll donate some, like, some books and stuff. That'll be fun. And, oh, hey, I'll put a gun in there. Sure, why not? Because I'm an old lady. I'll make cookies and guns. It's like two for one. You know. But whoever this lady is, or person, I should say. I don't know if it's a lady, that's just me. Whoever this is, stop. We don't need to be hiding things. These are nice books, and we're ruining the books by carving them out and putting things in them. It's like I doubt you're trying to be a secret agent. So stop, unless you're a secret agent, or something like, or a spy or whatever, you know, stop putting things into books and carving them out so you can do that. So, for our last break, means our last question. And for any of you latecomers, you know, I don't know if there's any latecomers, but just in case, because I'm nice like that. We do indeed have a Facebook page. The rumors are true. Go to Facebook, look up Dr. Novella, Novella, and like the page. There you can post comments, post stuff you like. Sometimes I post things, and most importantly, right before each break, I pose a question based off the article that I have read, that I have you guys answer in the comments. So what I want to know that if you were a secret agent or something like that, because that's the only way I'd ever let you carve some the book out and put something in it, what would you put into the book? Forget that. So if you were carving out a book inside of a book and putting something in it, because you're a secret agent, because that's the only reason you should be ever be doing that, what would you put in it? And with that, we'll be right back. You know, Dr. Novena's Novelty Hour. It's Halloween special. Here on the radio. Dominican. E-D-U.
Signal in the distance, to whom it may concern. I think I lost my way, getting good at starting over every time. We'll be right back.
Alrighty, and welcome back to Dr. Novella's Novelty Hour, here on radio.dominican.edu. And so, well, when we got some answers to my question. We got two answers. So we have Diane, who says she would put a bottle of Diet Coke just in case she got the thirsty during her mission. Right. Well, you know, it's always good to stay hydrated. So, you know, this is a good idea. So this is okay. You know, don't want to be like, oh, I'm going to save the day. Oh, no, I'm thirsty. Whatever shall I do? See, that's like crying. Thing, you know. What's next? Garrett! What does Garrett say? So Garrett says he would find the proof of aliens in the carved-out version of the Barnes and Noble Star Wars original trilogy script collection. First off, I didn't realize they sold that. I might have to find a nearby Barnes and Nobles now. Secondly, yeah, we've talked about doing things against the government's wishes before, okay? You know, there's no basement to hide you in this time. So, just saying, man. So, oh, hey, look, it's a number. I'm gonna hug the number because I love it. Oh, no, it's a garlic number. Sup. No. Right, well, the vampire's done. Let's do the show. Oh, wait. Oh, he did the show. Stupid vampire. Anyways, so that wraps it up. I noticed here that he has mentioned they called This Is Halloween the second best required Halloween-related song. Now, I did actually write that. So I know some of you are thinking, like, what? Okay, how is that the second best? This is blasphemy and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? There is one better. And that's what we're going to play out to. So, I hope all of you had a wonderful hour. You enjoyed yourselves. Have a great Halloween. Next time, it's back to business and the regular stuff. So, you have been watching Dr. Novella's Novelty Hour here on radio.dominican.edu. Oh, it's the Monster Mash.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It got on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It got on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun.
In a shoebox.
The party had just begun.
In a shoebox.
The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocky, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the MASH.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the MASH.
They played the Monster MASH. Out from his coffin, Mac's voice did ring. Seems he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the MASH.
It's now the Monster MASH.
The Monster MASH.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the MASH.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the MASH.
It's now the Monster MASH. Now everything's cool, Rack's a part of the band, and my Monster MASH is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this MASH was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them what is said.
Then you can MASH.
Then you can Monster MASH.
The Monster MASH.
And you, my graveyard smash.
Then you can MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can MASH.
Then you can Monster MASH.
Monster MASH.
You in
Monster MASH.